Illinois Public Media News, this is 2 and 7 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Wednesday, October 23rd. Coming up, we'll learn about a conservative plan called Project 2025 and what a new Trump administration might do with Medicaid. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Election season is causing anxiety for some college students who are casting their ballots for the first time. As IPM's David Pierce reports for our Voice of the Voter series, many are taking advantage of on-campus voting.
Early voting is now underway at several locations around Champaign County, including Parkland College. 19-year-old Robin Fitzgerald was one of the first in line before the doors opened. Being able to vote on campus, he says, is a huge convenience.
I have a lot going on with my classes and with extracurriculars and everything, so I feel like I also don't drive. So I would have to commute here, and I would have to do all this stuff, and it's something that would just slip my mind, honestly.
Fitzgerald also believes large crowds will form on Election Day, and they may be a problem for more than just wait times.
There might be a little bit of safety concern because some people just get very up in arms about who they're voting for and, like, trying to influence other people.
Students also started voting early at the University of Illinois Illini Union, including junior Sienna Navarro.
I saw the lines in the midterm election 2 years ago on campus, and they were fairly long, so I knew I didn't want to deal with that this year.
With the stakes so high in the presidential race, the 20-year-old also worries what will happen after November 5th.
A bit of anxiety. Just in terms of the results, and then depending on who wins, the aftermath, I guess, of those results.
Both Navarro and Fitzgerald said they voted for Vice President Kamala Harris over former President Donald Trump because of her views on LGBTQ+ and reproductive rights. Early voting is available at other locations around the state. Details can be found on the State of Illinois website. David Pierce, IPM News.
The Station Theater in Urbana's newest production opens tomorrow, Thursday, October 24th. IPM student reporter Aoishi Basu has more on The Minutes, which looks at power structures within a small town council.
With the coming election season, Station Theater has themed this season the hopeful and broken pieces of the American dream. The play, The Minutes, follows a newcomer in a small town council. Chaos ensues when he questions the disappearance of a fellow council member. Director Kendall Chunson says while the show is slapstick, it grows darker as it grapples with the history of violence towards Native Americans.
This reflects our own community here in Champaign-Urbana in that we have a large portion of the community addicted to this chief symbol at the University of Illinois. And we know better.
The Minutes runs through November 3rd. Tickets are available at stationtheater.com. I'm Aoishi Basu, IPM News.
Construction of a museum honoring Arcola's proud broom corn heritage is nearly complete. The Arcola Broom Palace will contain a retail store and craft bloom display. IPM student reporter Brendan Gallion has more.
Arcola is considered the broom corn capital of the U.S. because it once produced 40% of the nation's broom corn. That's according to Pat Monahan, a resident of Arcola who's leading the Arcola Broom Palace project. He says making craft brooms is a folk art.
There's maybe 200 craft broom makers in the United States, and none of them are getting rich, but they all enjoy the work, and they really make some works of art. And I tell people, well, you should, instead of buying a picture, you should buy a broom and hang it on your wall, even if you don't use it. It's something different. It's American history.
The Arcola Broom Palace is set to open to the public in spring 2025. I'm Brendan Gallion, IPM News.
A new report shows there's been a jump in abortions in Illinois with a virtual doctor's visit since Roe v. Wade was overturned more than 2 years ago. Kristen Schorsch reports.
WeCount is an organization that tracks abortion trends. The group's new report shows most people receive abortions in person. But in Illinois, the number of people getting the procedure with medicine and a virtual telehealth visit has more than doubled since just before Roe fell. Dr. Ushma Upadhyay with WeCount says access to care is still hard for some people.
people living in poverty, people who have children already, many children already, who are unable to overcome the travel barriers or don't know that telehealth is an option.
Illinois is one of the states that provides the most abortions via telehealth in the country. I'm Kristen Schorsch.
Still to come, we'll learn about a conservative plan called Project 2025 and what a new Trump administration might do with Medicaid. That story is coming up next on 217 Today. But first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for partly cloudy skies with a high of 70 degrees, a northwest wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, clear skies with a low of 37 degrees, a north wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 67 degrees, a southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain after midnight and a low of 50 degrees, south wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. And for Friday, partly cloudy with a chance of rain in the morning and a high of 72 degrees, a west wind 10 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, conspiracy theories are spreading beyond elections and vaccines to where people are now lying about the weather and your local meteorologist.
That we're somehow part of a government cover-up, that somehow the hurricanes are targeting red states. So many ludicrous claims, and the craziest part, none are based in science whatsoever.
I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Much has been made of Project 2025, a nearly 1,000-page blueprint for if former President Donald Trump were to win the upcoming election. It's authored by the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank. Democrats have worked hard to attach the plan to Trump's campaign, while Trump himself has said he has no connection to the plan. So can Project 2025 tell us anything about what a new Trump administration might do with Medicaid, the public health insurance program for low-income adults? Side Effects Public Media's engagement specialist, Lizzie McGreevy, spoke to health reporter Ben Thorpe about that.
So can you start off by talking about what Project 2025 might tell us about how a new Trump administration might handle Medicaid?
So Project 2025 is a huge plan that has eaten up a lot of political discourse and contains a range of conservative wish list items, everything from abortion to immigration to Medicaid. Trump himself has said he has no connection to the plan, which you mentioned at the top. And I think it's good to also mention that a Trump administration's ability to pass many of these policies is going to depend on the makeup of Congress after the election. I also think it's worth taking just a step back to offer some history here. The 2010 Affordable Care Act expanded Medicaid to non-disabled adults under 65. And to incentivize states adopting the expansion, the federal government agreed to match states for 90% of the cost of services to that new group. Now, Project 2025 talks about reforming financing for Medicaid in really vague terms, calling for a more balanced or blended matching rate, and the use of things like block grants, which can essentially cap how much money can come to a state for Medicaid. Experts I spoke with say that kind of language is essentially amounting to a cut, either to services or to the number of people who will ultimately be covered.
Ben, we've heard about cuts like these before. Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't the repeal and replace movement led by House Speaker Paul Ryan back in 2017 aimed at doing something pretty similar to this?
You are exactly right. A lot of this is not new. Listen to what Edwin Park told me. He's a researcher at Georgetown University McCourt School of Public Policy.
This proposal in Project 2025 is no different than what's commonly included in leading Republican conservative health plans, going all the way back to Paul Ryan's budget plans, efforts to block grant, all the way back to Ronald Reagan in 1981, Newt Gingrich in 1995, and so forth.
Why are so many conservative plans aimed at reducing Medicaid spending?
Well, it's worth understanding that Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security spending make up about half of the federal budget. So if you're looking for places to cut, it's obviously up there. I spoke with Brian Blaze, a former Trump advisor and president of the conservative Paragon Health Institute. The institute recently released its own plan, which includes more explicit steps to phase down federal matching rates for Medicaid spending. Conservatives like Blaze say those drawdowns are necessary because the federal deficit is growing and because of what he describes as abuse of Medicaid funding models.
My view is that Medicaid, you know, it's a program for low-income Americans. It's a welfare program. It should not be a cash cow for the healthcare industry.
And what do progressive policy folks have to say about this?
So I spoke to Allison Orris. She is a senior fellow at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. She said the idea that states aren't paying attention to Medicaid spending because the federal government is picking up a big chunk of the tab just doesn't make sense to her.
That's where I think, you know, the conservative vision is really different, and that a lot of these proposals are, you know, focusing on taking coverage away from people, even if they're framed as reducing federal costs, you know, or cleaning up program integrity, or, you know, whatever the argument is.
And Orris says the kinds of policies that are being talked about, including block grants or changes to Medicaid matching rates, could result in millions of people ultimately losing their coverage.
Ben, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today.
Always a pleasure, Lizzie.
This story comes from Side Effects Public Media, a health reporting collaboration of NPR member stations across the Midwest. It's based at WFYI. Election Day is November 5th. In Champaign County, there are 12 locations currently open for early voting, including the Champaign Public Library, the University of Illinois Illini Union, Parkland College, the Rantoul Youth Center, the Savoy Recreation Center, and the Tolono Public Library. For residents of Vermilion County, including Danville, early voting is available at the Danville Election Commission office in the Joseph Cannon County Building in Danville. And early voters in Macon County can go to a voting center in the new County Annex Building at 151 West Wood Street in Decatur. Check out our local, regional, and national candidates and issues at the Your Voice, Your Vote section on ipmnewsroom.org. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Aoishi Basu, Brendan Gallion, David Pierce, Kristen Schorsch, and Lizzie McGreevy. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hartwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.